All right, this evening, let's take our Bibles, and tonight I want to preach about forgiveness. And in your Bibles, the first scripture we're going to look at is in Luke chapter number 6. And you may think, where does a pastor, what causes him to decide to preach on a certain subject? Again, I'm going to talk about forgiveness tonight. And you know, inspiration for messages comes from many different places. Sometimes you're through your daily Bible reading, you know, something jumps off the page at you and you really feel like, you know, I need to preach about that. Sometimes you look at society and you see the mess that society's in, and that encourages you to preach. Sometimes you say, well, there's a book that I need to preach, and so you preach maybe a book of the Bible, or there's all kinds of different sources of inspiration for messages. Tonight's inspiration for this message comes from our Wednesday night prayer service. Those of you who aren't able to be in here on Wednesday nights because you're taking care of the young people, what we do on Wednesday night is we ask for prayer requests. And so someone asked for a particular prayer request, and it really struck me. And I've thought about it a lot, and it really convicted me, if you want to be honest. And it was Noma praying for the twins, okay? Which would be JP and Leanne's half-sisters, right, JR? So I'm thinking about that, and Noma says, you know, have they been sick or in the hospital or something? Newborns, maybe, are they newborns and just not developed well or whatever? And Noma's like, I really want you to pray for those twins. And I'm like, you know, okay, I mean, yeah, we will, but being that they are, the situation in which those children were born, I didn't expect her to ask for prayer for those children the way that she did and concerned about them. You know, and so it really struck me how that she wanted us to pray for those children and this sense of compassion in her heart for those little children. You know, difficult circumstances and situations surrounding those two children. And so when I thought that maybe bitterness might be present, there was no bitterness. There was compassion. And I began to think about that, and what caused me to think about was the fact that isn't that the way God treats us? Isn't God gracious to us? Isn't God compassionate towards us when we don't deserve it? Isn't God remembering that grace is bestowed upon the undeserving, right? And that's what makes grace grace. You don't deserve it, but God still deals graciously with you. And that's just really been on my heart the past couple of weeks, just thinking about that, and especially this past week, about the graciousness of God and how God, again, graces upon the undeserving. And so it just caused me to think about the need for grace and the need for forgiveness, because we are going to have times in our lives when we are going to be hurt and people need to be forgiven. And we need to remember the fact that God was gracious to us and God has forgiven us and continues to forgive us. So tonight all I'm going to do is I'm going to follow R.A. Torrey's topical textbook on forgiveness. You may not know what R.A. Torrey's topical textbook is, but it's kind of a topical Bible. Instead of things being in by scripture, it's in by topics. And so if you want to find scripture on a topic, you go to a said topic and it gives you a whole list of topics and it has a couple of notes along the way. Now, I'm just going to talk about just different scriptures that tell us about God's forgiveness for us and really our duty to forgive others. And times even to seek forgiveness of others. Webster's in his dictionary, as he defines forgiveness, forgiveness of enemies is a Christian duty, he says. It is the act of forgiving by which an offender is considered and treated as not guilty. The act of forgiving by which an offender is considered and treated as not guilty. So what are our motives to forgiveness? What are our motives to consider someone else to be not guilty and to treat someone else as they are not guilty? What are the motives? And I ask you to turn to the book of Luke in chapter number 6. So the motives to forgiveness. Luke chapter number 6, and we'll read verse number 36 first. Luke 6, 36. And it says, "Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." Remember, mercy is not getting what you deserve. For instance, someone, if they would throw themselves on the mercy of the court, they are saying, "I know I'm guilty. I know I'm deserving of punishment, but please don't give me what I deserve. Give me something less than that." And really, when you're pleading mercy, you're depending upon the goodness of the one who can bestow mercy. I'm not deserving. I'm just depending on your goodness to give me less than I deserve. When we think about God, isn't that the case for us? God is merciful to us. He is not giving us what we deserve. He never has and He never will. And so we understand that God did not treat us like we deserve. And so we should treat others that same way. Never treat someone else based upon what they deserve. And you can say, "But you don't know how they hurt me." It doesn't matter. Because no matter how someone else has hurt you, they have never harmed you as badly as you have harmed Christ. And so be merciful because Jesus, because our Father, because God is merciful, we are to be merciful to others also. And so that's our first motive, the mercy of God, the mercy that He has bestowed upon us. That's our first motive to practice forgiveness, to consider someone else and treat someone else as not guilty. Let's turn now to the book of Mark in chapter number 5. Mark in chapter number 5, that's way off, isn't it? But I was seeing 25. Mark 11, 25. Okay? Mark 11, 25. "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Why should we forgive someone else when we are praying? If you have aught against anyone, forgive them. Why? It's because when you stand before the Father, you stand in need of forgiveness. Are there any of us that say that we stand before God in perfection and that we have not sinned today and there is nothing that I need to ask God for forgiveness for? Can any of us say that? We can't, can we? Our hearts are desperately wicked. Our thoughts at times are full of evil thoughts and not pleasant thoughts and not pure thoughts and so we are always in a constant need of forgiveness from God. And so when we stand praying, we should forgive others because we always stand in need of forgiveness from God. And so we should be willing to forgive others also. Because of the fact that we stand in constant need of forgiveness from God. Because look at verse 26, and I'll get to this again a little bit later. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespass. You stand in need and you want to come to God and you want to say, God, I'm sorry, I want you to forgive me. I did wrong. I had a wrong thought. I did a wrong thing. Whatever it is, God, I want you to forgive me. And you always want God to be ready to forgive. Anytime you come and say, God, I'm sorry, you want God to forgive you of that. You better be willing to have that same attitude towards others. Right? Forgive others. Because if you don't forgive, how can you expect God to forgive you? So, the second motive for forgiveness is our need for forgiveness. And we better put forgiveness into practice. Because if we don't practice forgiveness, we shouldn't expect to receive forgiveness from God when we go to Him. The third motive for prayer is found in Ephesians 4:32, which all of these are going to parallel from this point on, but we're looking at other scriptures that talk about it. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 32, and here Paul is encouraging the church at Ephesus with really how to have a strong church and what you should do as a Christian. Notice he says, and be ye kind to one another. Be ye kind to one another. When we are treating others, the thought that we ought to have in mind is, I want to be kind to them. Maybe we don't consider that as often as we should. But I don't want to chase that rabbit. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You see, throughout the Scripture, this idea, this thought, that God has forgiven you, so you forgive others, is brought to our hearts and brought to our minds for us to remember God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. And if you measure up, if you would stack up your sins and all the transgressions that you have committed against God, they would be many. So forgive others because God has forgiven you. And once again, the same, Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Here again, forbearing one another. What's forbearing one another mean? Forbearing one another means to forbear with someone. You know someone has an ill personality. You know there's someone that they're going to get under your skin today. They have an abrasive personality. That's what I was looking for. They may not even realize how abrasive their personality is. But you know they're going to be abrasive. But instead of, you know, lashing out at them and really trying to put them in their place, you just put up with it, right? You're long-suffering with them. You forbear with them. Listen, inside a church family, we need to do that. Inside our own families, we need to do that. You know, I mean, your husband comes home from work and he's had a hard day and who knows what's happened on his way home and whatever, you know, and he's just a grumpy old bear. Put up with him. You know, somebody's been burning incense in the house or something or some kind of tart and he's a grumpy old bear, I heard. What do you do? I think you tell him, just go to bed and go to sleep and leave us alone. But you put up with it, right? You forbear with them. instead of fighting back. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You forgive them for their grumpiness because, listen, they've had a bad day. And if any man have a quarrel against any, forgive them. Because Christ forgave you. As Christ forgave you. Now, this adds a little more to it. How did Christ forgive us? Unconditionally. The scriptures I'm not going to look at today are, how many times did I to forgive? Am I supposed to give 7 times? No, till 70 times 7 in the same day. Which means your forgiveness is limitless. Now think about that. 70 times 7, 490. That's 490 times they come to you and say, I did this, I'm sorry. In the same day. Okay. Somebody comes to Brother Mark and says, Brother Mark, you're fat and ugly. But they come and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean that. Okay, you're forgiven. How many times would they have to do that 490 times in a day? It would have to be almost as soon as they said, I'm sorry, to come back and say, Brother Mark, you're fat and ugly. You know, after about the 100th time they said that, and they said, I'm sorry, I'd begin to think, eh, you're not really sorry. You're sorry, but you're not sorry. You know, you begin to think that they're not really sorry, because if you was really sorry, you would repent, right? Notice their repenting of their action is not, you can't even take into consideration whether they are repentant of their action. If they ask you to forgive them, you forgive 490 times in the day. Why does he say that? It's to prove to you that your forgiveness is to be limitless. You can't say, well, I've forgiven you that once, I'm not forgiving you anymore. I've forgiven you that twice, I'm not forgiving you anymore. I've forgiven you that 3 times. Listen, that's not a consideration. How did Christ forgive you? Unconditionally. And that's the kind of forgiveness that we need to have. It's difficult to have because you talk to people and they'll say, well, you shouldn't put up with that anymore, you know? Don't accept that apology. Christ always accepts our apologies. We need to have the same spirit as Christ. Now again, let's turn to the book of Luke in chapter number 23. You know, the thing that a foreman, a supervisor, a boss, a thing that they will always say, now, I'll not ask my men to do anything that I wouldn't do, right? I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do. They generally, my boss comes to me and says, in the past he come to me and says, now, Mark, I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do. I generally knew what that meant. What he's going to ask me to do wasn't going to be very pleasant, right? I generally knew that, right? But that's a thing supervisors say all the time. Now, I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do. Well, in this instance of forgiveness, Jesus is not asking us to do something that He hasn't already done. Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 34, we have an example. Christ is hanging on the cross, being crucified. I don't know about you, but I've not had anyone trying to nail me to a tree yet. Not, they may have tried to nail me to the tree spiritually, but not physically. And while Jesus was hanging on that cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus has given us a great example of forgiveness. So when He tells us that we are to forgive others, and really to forgive others unconditionally, we have His example to fall back upon and say, can I forgive this person of that? Does it measure up to being crucified? No. So I can forgive. And so we need to know how important that is. And how important or how impactful is forgiveness. Think about the examples of forgiveness that you have in the Scripture. Think about the one that we used this morning in our message when the lady came and she was a sinner, and she cried, and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." How impactful do you think that was in her life? How impactful do you think it was when the woman was taken in adultery and Jesus said, "Ye that be without sin, cast the first stone." And all the men went away and Jesus said, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Who's accusing you, Lord?" And there is no man, Lord. And he says, "Then go and sin no more." How impactful do you think it was on that woman's life that Jesus forgave her? And as we looked at this morning, Saul of Tarsus, as he received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, even when he was condoning the stoning death of Stephen, how impactful was it that Jesus forgave him of his sins? Very impactful, right? So think about this. If you practice forgiveness towards someone who is undeserving, think of the impact that it will have in their life. We need to understand that. The impact that forgiveness has in the life of someone else. Think about this. What about the prodigal, right? The prodigal goes and he wastes all of his living on riotous. He wastes all that he had on riotous living. And he wakes up in the hog trough and said, "My servants in my father's home have more than enough and to spare." And he says, "I'll go back to my father's house and I'll live as one of the hired servants." And as he was afar off and his father saw him, and his father ran to him and wrapped his arms around him and he loved him. How impactful do you think that was in the life of the prodigal when his father forgave him? You see, forgiveness has an impact. That's the reason we want to practice forgiveness, because of the impact that it will have in the lives of others. Let's look at a couple of Old Testament scriptures that has to do. Let's look at Psalm 7 and understand that a characteristics. One of the characteristics of the saints is that they will practice forgiveness. When he says this, "O Lord, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I've delivered to him that without cause is mine enemy." What's he asking there? Let's go back up and read. "O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hand." So he's saying, "Lord, I want you to search me and see if there's any wicked way in me." And he's saying, "If I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me." In other words, if I didn't forgive someone or I hurt someone that was at peace with me, I shouldn't do that, Lord. And so he's asking forgiveness for that. So we understand from that that one of the characteristics of a saint is that he will forgive his enemies. Those who have hurt him, it's something that we ought to do. And turn over to Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 11. Notice what it says about this. It says this: "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." When you practice forgiveness, it is to your glory. So it says what kind of man you are to practice forgiveness. It shows the grace of God in your life. Because we understand the only reason that we can truly forgive someone without expecting anything in return is the fact that the grace of God is what encourages that in us. So it is to our glory to practice forgiveness. So it is a characteristic that should be present in the hearts of saints, and it is something that is to our glory and is always the fact. If we receive any glory, who receives the ultimate glory? Of course, Jesus Christ does. A few other things, and we've already kind of mentioned these, but we've already mentioned what characteristics will accompany forgiveness. We've already looked at Colossians 3:13 and talked about forbearing one another and forgiving one another. We do need to understand that when we are practicing forgiveness, there will be forbearance there. We will put up with difficult actions. We will put up with difficult personalities. We will put up with difficult persons. And we will understand that sometimes what's going on in someone's life is why they have treated you the way that they have. And you will understand that the cause of Christ is greater than how they might have treated you. And that you will decide to put up with it to keep peace, to keep unity, so that Christ can be glorified. So you will forbear with those things instead of lashing out in anger and having to have your way and, you know, deferring your anger. When you have every right to be angry, you'll forbear with that for unity's sake, so that Christ can be glorified. Look at Romans chapter number 12. You will be kind to those who are your enemies. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. Romans 12:20. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, you shouldn't do it saying, I'm going to give you this drink because I'm wanting fire, the fires of judgment to come down upon your head. Now, that shouldn't be your attitude. But that's what's happening. When they are angry without a cause and you're a good to them and they return evil for the good that you've done, they're going to come in judgment for that. So be kind. Recognizing it's of the Lord that you will be rewarded for what you're doing. And your reward will be of greater value than you can even imagine. We just have to know that they are. Here's another thing, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Just let me read it to you. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So what will you do? What will be the characteristics of those who are your enemies? You're going to love them. You're going to bless them. You're going to pray for them. Have you ever gotten on your knees and prayed for that one that's hurt you? That God will bless them? That His blessings will flow upon them? That even though they don't like you, and even though they've done things against you, and even though they have hard feelings towards you, you're going to get on your knees and pray that God will bless them? That's what this is saying that we need to do. Why should we do that? Because Christ has done that for us. Think about this. Christ is omniscient. He knows all things. God knows all things, right? And He's going to bless us today. We're going to ask Him to bless us today. Do you think He doesn't know the sin we're going to commit tomorrow and the next day and the next day? And maybe somewhere in our future, there is a big fall in our future. And He knows it. But He still chooses to bless us today, knowing what's in our future. Something to think about, isn't it? Bless them. Pray for them. Those who persecute you. What characteristics will accompany forgiveness? Blessing and prayer. What are some promises to those who forgive? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you practice forgiveness, you know that you can always come to the heavenly Father and know that He's going to forgive you, because you practice forgiveness so readily, you can anticipate that God is going to forgive you, that He hasn't turned His ear to your prayers. He's not closed His ear to your prayers, but we know that He hears your prayers because you are forgiving others. You can anticipate that He is going to forgive you. James chapter number 2 and verse number 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and more mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What's he saying there? He will judge without mercy if you do not practice mercy. But if you do practice mercy, he will judge with mercy. There's no forgiveness if you do not forgive. There is no mercy if you don't practice mercy. So we want to practice mercy. Think about these great examples. Think about Joseph. Joseph forgave his brothers, right? They wanted to destroy him. They gave him up. They wanted to kill him. They sold him into slavery. They probably hoped that once he got into Egypt, once he got down to, they didn't know where he was going, but once he got down there, they probably were hoping that the man was mean and he treated him horrible and that he died. That's probably what Joseph's brothers wished. But when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, what did he say? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph forgave them and Joseph blessed them. He was a great example. We looked at today. What did Stephen say as they were stoning him? Lay not this sin to their charge. Even Paul, remember what he thought about John Mark? Remember, John Mark turned away from Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And when Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along on the second one, the contention was so great that it caused Paul and Barnabas to separate, and that's where Paul and Silas got together. But what about later on? What did Paul say about John Mark? Paul said, bring him because he is profitable unto me for the ministry. Paul had forgiven John Mark. Throughout the Scriptures, you can look and you can see the men of God forgiving others for their transgressions. We recognize the greatest example was Jesus Christ. And the example that we need to present to the world and what we need to portray and what we need to practice is forgiveness. Because Christ forgave us, we need to forgive others also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for the truths that we find contained in Your Word. And we pray tonight, dear Heavenly Father, that You'll bless Your people. We thank You for these folks that are here tonight in the difficult situation with the snows upon the ground. But God, I pray that You'll bless them for their faithfulness to You. And God, I pray that You protect them as they travel home. And God, I pray that You just stir our hearts to love more and to forgive more and just exemplify Your love to us as we practice forgiveness to others. Thank You for Your goodness and Your watch care over us. Bless us in the upcoming week. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.